Welcome to the Nuclear Medicine and Molecular Medicine Podcast. Episode 37, Dr. Muda talking about radiosinophoresis or radiosinovectomy. A very interesting topic, a topic which represents one of the many grossly underused methods and particularly therapies in nuclear medicine. It tends to be underused in much of the world, but in Germany, it's one of the most popular techniques. I'm sure you'll find lots of interesting information from the podcast, and I'm sure you'll find it a very interesting topic. Lots been happening in the world of nuclear medicine. There's been more isotope shortages, more problems with delays of the Chalk River reactor. I'd like to have your feedback about that, so please email me back at rob@nukecast.com. And if you want to know more about the podcast, remember nukecast.com. There's also been strong areas of growth, new isotope supplies coming from Poland, other places setting up new technetium production. So I think we're living in interesting times. Perhaps we'll end up with a glut of technetium. Who knows? Certainly there's lots happening in the world, and I'd love to hear your feedback on that. There's lots happening in terms of changes the way nuclear medicine's been used and examined. In the United Kingdom, there's been new NICE guidelines which affect an expansion of cardiac services, in particular a reduction in recommendations for the use of ECGs and an increase in recommendations for the use of non-invasive testing, including myocardial perfusion scintigraphy. So I'm sure there's a lot of interesting topics you might want to give feedback. So please, I'd appreciate your feedback. If you've got any interesting topics, anything you'd like discussed, anybody who has got interesting research work that they'd like to discuss on the podcast, please get back to me. I'd love to hear from you. So let's get on to it. Without further ado, here's Dr. Muda talking to us from India again. So enjoy the podcast. Okay. Good. Here we are for the first interview at the Society of Nuclear Medicine India and 2009, and what a wonderful meeting it's been so far. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but right now I've got Dr. Muda from Germany who's been talking at the meeting here in India, and he's been talking about therapy, which is the future of nuclear medicine, and in particular radiation sinovectomy. And so I'll just start by asking Dr. Muda about why he's in India.
Well, in India, I think that is a poor country, and radiosynovectasis is a very cheap alternative to other therapies in joint diseases, and therefore I think it is very good. And how I came to India was I wrote a book also in English about the only and first textbook about radiosynovectomy. We call it also radiosynovectomy cases, or abbreviated RSO, and people from India were interested, and they visited us, me in Germany, in our clinic, and learned that. And then, well, it is difficult then to start in such a country, and then I offered them, okay, we can come, and then you can perform it there practical, and we help you. And so it came that we went to my wife, she's a doctor too, to India, and now it is already in the fifth year where we are here.
I think one thing about radiation sinovectomy, which we might go into a little bit more detail, is that it's really, I think the main advantage isn't so much that it's cheap, which it is, but that it works, and it's a very effective treatment, having used it in my practice in Australia. Perhaps we could talk a little bit about radiation sinovectomy For the people who aren't very familiar with it, I'm sure people in Germany are very familiar with it because in the excellent presentation you gave, you said there was as many radiation synovectomies done as thyroid scans. Is that correct?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was about now 2009 in whole Germany were performed about 67,000 radio synovectomies. In our clinic, we perform about 7,000 radio synovectomies per year, and the number 67,000 is nearly the same number as radiation as radio iodine therapy in whole Germany. It is really the same number.
Well, for those that aren't familiar with radiation synovectomy, I was wondering whether you could explain what it is and the different isotopes that are used for it.
Yes, radiation synovectomy covers a lot of diseases. At first, the rheumatoid arthritis, but also other painful joint diseases as hemophilic arthritis, then villonodular synovitis, but also osteoarthritis.
Yeah, and basically what happens is they use radiation by injecting into the joint space, and that destroys the synovium, which is the overproduction of fluid. That's the principle, basically.
Well, what we have to focus in the joint is not, as usual, the cartilage. You know, we look on an X-ray of a knee joint, and we see this narrowed joint space, but that is the damage of the cartilage. But the cartilage cannot inflict pain because cartilage has no nerves, no vessels. It is always the synovium, and this synovium behaves like a tumor-like proliferation, as the WHO pathologist Professor Fassbender calls it. It behaves really in rheumatoid arthritis like a tumor. It is no cancer, of course, but it destroys the cartilage, the bone, the ligaments, the whole structure of the joint. And what we do, we must fight against this synovitis. And that is now very elegant. If you would inject only radioactive material, the isotopes in a joint, that will spread over the whole body. But the elegant thing is you inject small particles, these are colloids or others, such small particles are phagocytized, that means eaten by the surface cells of the synovium, then you get a fine film over the surface of the synovium, colloids, these particles, radioactive isotopes are attached, fixed. And so you get a radioactive film only over at the surface of the synovium, not of the cartilage, because there are no eating cells. And so you attack the synovium very specifically. And the isotopes have better radiation with a not so long tissue range. This will then destroy, not suddenly, but within weeks and some months, slowly the synovium, and after that will be a fibrosis, the synovitis, the proliferation is reduced, the capillaries which produce effusions are closed, and so you have a good effect on three parameters we are interested in, pain relief, and then no effusion, and an improvement of mobility of the treated joint.
That's interesting. So you've explained how it works. Now, what's wrong with doing conventional treatment, and what is the conventional treatment?
Well, the conventional treatment in rheumatoid arthritis is very good because it is good. This question, I have to declare it. Rheumatic arthritis, that is a systemic disease, and therefore you have to treat it at first systemically. You give drugs like methotrexate, corticosteroid, and so on. And then, no radiosynovitis. But if there are only a few joints, it is called an oligoarthritis, then you have to think over if it is not sufficient enough only to treat one or three joints without this systemic therapy. But normally, in the polyarthritis, this means there are many joints involved, then you give this systemic drug therapy, and then that could be then the patient is content, but after some months or 1 year, then the one or other joint is very painful. And then you perform radiosynoviotesis in these joints, and then you can avoid enhancement of drug therapy. And enhancement means now very modern are these new biologics. They are, that is, all the TNF-alpha blockers, and they are very expensive, about 35,000 euro per year, only that, aside the other costs. And with radiosynovitis, you are very effective and can avoid that. And in osteoarthritis, let's say of the knee joint, more and more, very soon, total knee replacement, total joint replacement is performed. And I think that is not necessary. That radiosynovitis is a bit between only corticosteroids and a total joint replacement. If you perform radiosynovitis, you can avoid this also very expensive surgery. There is additional to say that a very modern study in Germany has demonstrated that only 45% are content with the result of a total joint knee replacement.
Right. Well, total knee replacements are not cheap either. They're expensive. And at 30,000 euros or more a year, you don't have to have, even in the best funded health system, that imposes a severe burden. So anything that's going to help reduce that will work. The other alternative, I guess, is giving corticosteroids into the joint. What's the problem with that?
With the corticosteroids?
Yes.
Yes, that is, you know, that is, you have to regard it, rheumatoid arthritis, like a war. There's a foreign soldiers molest you in a joint, and what to do now? Then, okay, at first you take the normal soldiers, they are effectful, and it might be okay. But if there are some criminals in one joint, then you must have an additional strategy. It is good to have undersea boats or an aeroplane, and so that is a strategical work. And the radiosynovitis is a weapon where you can influence very positively the strong enemies. At first, radiosurmetasis is only a local therapy. Of course, at first you try a weaker weapon and you give corticosteroids. And that is a condition which you should accept, that at first you have to try corticosteroid. And if in many cases that helps and is enough, but in many, many cases, a corticosteroid will help, let's say, 2 months. The next injection, 1 month, and always half, and then it doesn't help. And so the regulation is, at first you try corticosteroid into a joint interarticularly, and when that not helps, if there's a corticoid failure, then the indication for radiosurmetasis is given. And you should not wait too long, because you have the best results, of course, if the joint is only a little bit destroyed and not too much.
Right, so if you give it early enough and can reduce the pain and the symptoms early enough, then and the damage early enough, then you can avoid, there can be some repair of the joint, and you can avoid having to do a joint replacement.
Yes, that is the word radiosynoviotesis. That means, orthesis means a re-establishment. It is really you repair the pathologic swelling of the synovium and the destructive power. Synovium will be smoother and okay then, and even if you have erosions in the joint, in the joint near erosions, then they can also be repaired if you do it early enough.
And from personal experience working with patients, I've never had happier patients than the ones who come back, particularly after they've had multiple corticosteroids. There's side effects to that. They don't last very long, the effect of that, but the radiation effects can last quite a long time, months and years perhaps, and very happy patients as a response to that. Now I suppose I'll move on to that. I said the difficulties of that, particularly in India, where you've got problems with isotope supply. Could you go into a little bit about the different isotopes and the supply issue?
Could you formulate that a little bit?
Yeah. One of the issues with using radiation in this way is the supply of isotopes, the supply of radioactive material, and that has a limited half-life, and different isotopes are used with different half-lives. Perhaps you might explain a little bit about the problems with that, particularly in India.
Yes, our German Center of Radiosurmetasis is in Germany, in Cologne, and the only pharmaceutical company producing these isotopes is near Paris, and so that is a short way for us, and we don't look a lot for the rapid decrease of half-life, but it has to be transported to India. And that's a longer way. And there's a problem. The Indians are afraid of Pakistan bombs. And if such a package comes, which you have not to open, a warning radioactivity, they don't know if there's a Pakistan bomb in it. Then it has to rest in the moment 24 hours. Several years ago, it was 48 hours. It depends on how they feel that Pakistan is dangerous. And so they have to, they get the radioactive isotopes, yttrium-90, has a half-life time of 2.7 days, and they can get it when, two half-lives are gone. And sometimes it depends where in the where that should be used. You have to pay the 3 or 4-fold more than we in Germany, and that is a great pity. You know, the poor country cannot pay that, and therefore. It was already 1998. I talked to Professor Ramamurthy. He was the head of the Baba Atomic Research Center in Mumbai, BARC, and I told him, "You are able to produce atom bombs. You must be able to produce these simple radioactive isotopes." And what he did, he produced. And 2 years later, I treated in Pune with holmium, radioactive isotope, and 2 years later with samarium. Isotope, and with very good results. Papers are published, but then the difficulties are in India. They have hope and joy to perform that, but there are some obstacles. And the obstacles are, aside the isotopes, that it needs a little bit more education. While we in Germany, as nuclear medicine doctors, have ultrasound equipment, the nuclear medicine doctors in India don't have, the radiologists have that. But ultrasound is very easy and important to check the joints. You see so much. You see the swelling. You can measure the swelling. You see the effusions. You see a Baker's cyst in the knee joint. You see swelling of tendons, and this is important. You must have it. Well, they don't have it, but they have a better communication, I think, in universities. Than we in Germany between the disciplines. They help each other. In Germany, we can be doctor for nuclear medicine and also radiologist. I, for instance, have 2 educations and interventional radiology and so. And in India, that is a luxury thing to get both. They are happy if they get one education. That is the equipment. Then the next is fluoroscopy for the small joints, as finger joints and tooth, and middle-sized joints like a shoulder joint, elbow, wrist, ankle joint, and also hip joint. You need fluoroscopy. You must inject contrast medium so that you are absolutely sure that you are in these joints, because if you perform your radioactive isotopes not accurately into the cavity, but outside or within intraarticularly, but in such a villus, then that can spread over whole the body, and then you get side effects. So you need that, and they have no C arms, and they have not the education for fluoroscopy. That is a little bit the problem. But I was in 3 great universities, and there we performed the radiosurveyor thesis, and it was really not a problem to get all this equipment of the others, and they helped. There's a very good collaboration. It was enjoyable. And the problem is, then I was 6 years not here, And then the products from Bach in Mumbai, they were not longer available. It slept a little bit in. And last year I talked to Professor Ramamurthy, who is now in the International Atomic Energy Organization in Vienna, but I talked with the new chief in this organization, Mira Venkatesh, and she promised to produce, and she declared now again on this congress that she will be busy to produce good and safe products with good, already good animal experiments, but she waits for the Nuclear Medicine Society will require that more widespread, because it is not economic if they produce for 5 or 6 centers and not more. And that was now my goal to come again to this Congress to make a motivation for the Indian nuclear medicine to provide radiosynviatesis for their patients with painful joint diseases. The title of my lecture was Why and How to Establish Radiation Synovectomy in India, and I hope, and I have a good echo, that that will be will have a positive result.
I'm sure you will. I think the one thing I've learned while being at the meeting is that the Indian nuclear medicine community does have a can-do attitude, and they have some very very positive and enthusiastic people who really want to make a difference. And they do. And the topics of the meeting here are the same topics that we'd see in any European or American meeting, perhaps even advance of that. So I think there's no question that that they have the knowledge and ability. And in fact, so much so that much of the expertise in Europe and in America comes from doctors trained in India. So I think it's just a matter of making that more widespread. There's 250 practices in India, and in a population of 1.5 billion, one would hope there'd be a great deal more than that, but certainly that would be a good start in terms of getting this off the ground. And there's a lot of patients in 1.5 billion patients, people that are going to make use of such a technique.
But there are areas like Orissa. Orissa, that is a great province. They have more than 40 million inhabitants, and there is no one place where nuclear medicine established. And my friend, Professor B.K. Das, he is a great promoter for radiosynviatesis in India. He's already retired, but he has founded an institute for nuclear medicine in Bhubaneswar in Orissa, because he thinks that it is absolutely important not only to make a nuclear medicine and also radiosynviatesis available in the great metropoles or in the great cities, but also for most patients also in villages.
Yes, well, I certainly hope so, and I think there's certainly a lot of interest, and I know that the Indians here, the physicians here, hold you in great respect, and have spoken very finely of the work you've done here, and I certainly hope that not just in India, but in other countries, this practices becomes more widespread. I mean, I'm staggered that it's not widespread in the UK, for example. It's used somewhat in Australia, but it could be used far more in my experience, and I'm sure the same would apply in the United States. This is not something that's lacking in its use just in India either.
Well, it depends also on 2 points. On registration, yes, you must have the registration, you have, must have the permission to use that. And there are the laws very different in several countries. And now we think that we get a unique registration in the authority of EMEA, that is the European registration system, that will be the same for all European countries. But another thing is, I can tell that, that is that it is produced in France, and this that was not a company, that was a daughter of the government, and they had no interest to sell that somewhere. That was only they did it for their own country, and if anybody had interest for that, then they gave it. And so there were, well, I can say guest students in Paris, where it was introduced at first, in Lyon, and they brought it to Germany or to Switzerland, and there, okay, that is established, and they were not interested to win the FDA for their selling of products, and that's a problem. Then Schering bought it. And when Schering saw that had such a great distribution in Germany and beginning in other European countries, it begins, then they bought it. That is very simple. You have not to produce it yourself. You can buy it. And then it was a German product. But then our absolute crazy health system. I could it repeat it 10 times. Lowered the prices for radiosynovitis so catastrophal that the Schering company didn't think that any doctor would buy these isotopes any longer, and though very quick they sold it again to another group, but the German doctors, they were not jealous of money and dropped it, this method. No, they said it is impossible to delete, because of money arguments, this method for these patients, and the method increased more and more, despite the fact that you get reimbursement for that. We do it because it is so important and helps so much the patients.
Well, I mean, that's very impressive. A lot of people say that doctors are only motivated by a reimbursement. That just goes to prove that's entirely incorrect. Anyway, so far, we're a couple of days into the meeting. What's been your highlight of the meeting so far?
Well, I don't really know it. I read only the abstracts, but I have so many communications. You know, the Congress is not only to listen to the lectures. I talked with so many people who are important for the progress of spreading this method more in India, and there were very effective talks, And I'm now hopeful that it goes on in a better way now. And what I see, what I think is not such a highlight in the whole world, nuclear medicine congresses, I think they have about 80 or 90% only about PET, positron emission tomography, and that is a very good thing for science, and you can become a wonderful professor with this method. But if it is really so important for the distribution in such a poor country as India, I don't know. It is very, very expensive, and I think nuclear medicine should concentrate more on therapy. It has too much. The percentage between diagnosis and therapy, that is too great for diagnosis, and there's always a competition. You know, nuclear medicine lost a lot of examinations. Nearly no liver scintigraphy. Many brain studies are not performed. And in Germany, for instance, but that is different to India and many other countries I know. The number of bone scintigrams decreased absolutely. Why? Because the competition is... these are the tumor markers, let's say, for prostatic cancer. If you have a normal tumor cancer, then it is not necessary. A tumor marker, then it is not necessary to perform bone scintigraphy. And many institutes who performed per day 15 up to 20 bone scintigrams, they perform only 2 or 3 in a whole week now. And their therapy is very good, as you know it from iodine. It was thyroid. Well, we would have lost thyroid totally to the endocrinologists, but we don't. Why? We make excellent diagnostics, and we have the therapy with radioiodine therapy. So we have to strengthen the therapeutic field more than sophisticated. I think much in this, also in our congresses in Europe or United States, they are a little bit sophisticated, and they lose participants because the normal doctors, normal nuclear medicine doctors, they are not so interested in this PET field.
Yeah, I agree. I think PET's very important and very interesting, but if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'd know that out of the last 5 episodes, 3 of them have been about therapy. And new therapies, exciting new therapies coming along all the time for everything from HIV to adjuvant breast therapy. So therapy is very important, and it really does link in directly with what we do. It's something that really can't be taken away, and it's certainly an area that's got huge potential, because we've got very good at diagnosing diseases. We have no trouble diagnosing most diseases. The trouble we have, which hasn't improved a lot, particularly with carcinomas, is treatment. And if we can make an impact that way, then we can help healthcare. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yes, and I don't want to stop PET, because it is in all areas you have to make research and look where there are good ideas, and you have to promote it, but you have not to forget the therapy. And that, I have the impression, that in the most universities and in most congresses, that is absolute in the foreground, and the other things are forgotten. The very important things where you can not only make diagnosis, where you can help. And what a doctor wants, he wants not only to demonstrate on a bone scintigram, there's a black point, there a black point, and there, and there, and there. I call it da, da, da. Da is German, that means there. And you know the art, Dada. Dadaism. That is a Dadaism. There is something, and now, no, it is more interesting to make the diagnosis and then the therapy and the follow up and the control, and then that is what I think is a great luck and joy for the doctor and the main person, the patient, of course.
Yes, we shouldn't forget the patient. So, well, thank you very much. I really appreciate giving up such a lot of time for the podcast. I'm sure this will be of great interest to the listeners, and I'm sure you want to get back to the excellent dinner that's been put on by the Indian Society of Nuclear Medicine and the wonderful entertainment. What did you think of the entertainment today?
What?
Entertainment, the dancing and so on.
Yes. Entertainment. Yes, we well, I think now we go to the buffet, and that is Indish, and it is very hot.
Yes.
And we heard hot music, yeah. And I think it is. And for me, it's always nice because we have already through the years many friends and colleagues, and we are home. My wife and me, we feel home in India, this exotic surrounding.
It's very easy to feel at home in India because the hospitality has been wonderful. And thank you very much for being the podcast. Thank you.
Okay, thank you too.
And thank you, Dr. Mudda. That was a very interesting interview. Another one in our long line of interviews on therapies. But we've got more interviews coming up, particularly with some diagnostic tools next time. And I'm sure you're going to find that very interesting. And we've also got more from India as well. Please, if you're going to the SNM meeting, that's in the American Society of Nuclear Medicine meeting in Salt Lake City, Utah, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you're doing there. There may be a chance to catch up over that. So please get in touch with me. That's rob@nukecast.com. Or if you've got any other news or other information that may be useful that we can put on the podcast, please get in touch with me. But if you are going to the meeting, I'm sure lots of the listeners are, then please get in touch with me at rob@nukecast.com. Until next time, cheerio.